to Predictability. It's all over this episode of NXT.
Yeah, all
right. That was good stuff. So,
do you have any more?
No.
Guys, we're back.
Yeah, we are.
In the garage.
In the garage. It's summertime. It's a summer recording. It's going to be a good one.
But the garage door is shut, and we are fucking hot.
But the garage beers
are cold, and we should open them.
And they should be open. That's what I was going
for. Bring it!
Yeah!
That was a really good four-way bell ring right there.
Don't forget the Dr. Pepper.
It's real crisp when you nail them all at the same time. Really, like, you can really tell. You
know? Yeah.
So, let's just steamroll into this. We just watched most of...
Undercard Mania is what you're saying here?
Yeah.
That we should get into? I do have a couple because
skip
I feel
the
like...
foreplay.
No, no. I don't...
Never skip the foreplay. Foreplay.
Sometimes you can.
No, you don't.
I'll keep it brief. I'll keep it brief. How about this? This is a quick foreplay. It's not for you. It's for me.
Your boy, okay. Your boy's an eater. I got you. That's
all right. No. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with it.
I'm a fucking hungry man. What's wrong with that?
I'm just saying sometimes the foreplay has been all day, you know?
That's true.
It's not for you. It's for me.
last week, myself and Steven saw Backrooms. Man.
More like a trip to the bathrooms.
No, like, it was really good. I liked it.
I very much enjoyed it.
Are you familiar at all with the concept of the Backrooms?
No.
This is your first introduction?
I knew this was a YouTuber that had gotten a chance to do the movie. I knew that there was some established lore online. No, I did not seek it out. I went into this relatively blind, having seen, like, a trailer. I liked it, and... I will say that for me, it explained just enough in the movie that someone like me who didn't know the backstory, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I understood what was going on, but at the same time, there was enough of it that was vague that I could have my own, I think this means this, or that means that, and then you can discuss it with people that do know the lore, you know? Like, so I really enjoyed it. I was all in on it. It's weird as shit.
I saw an interview with the director where he was talking about how he was avoiding, with the whole thing of the Backrooms, he just was talking about avoiding lore bloat is the term he used.
Perfect.
I'm like,
That was his like target, boom, bullseye, dead center.
Which this guy is like credited with being a major like contributor to the Backrooms lore. As it was, right? Like, all the online.
Yeah, I believe it was his thing.
Yeah, his thing.
He didn't write, like, the original post.
No.
I think.
No, he just did the animations or whatever.
Yeah. Which, like, seek out the like, stuff that's on social media.
I've seen bits and pieces since then, because the algorithm is a sentient being.
Yeah.
Right.
But, Steven, your take on it.
My take on the Backrooms is really fucking good. I actually suck out the lore afterwards as well. Like, when we were sitting there, it thought it was hilarious because our seating arrangement was, they're like, oh, we have, like, there's no two seats together. There's like two that are kind of next to each other, but they're the handicapped ones. And so me and Tom were just like, all right.
You
cool.
don't, no, I was Tom gonna does do that. Yeah, anyway. Tom does that anyways.
Like, I'm sitting here, and then it's like, wheelchair space, Tom.
Yeah, like, and 30 so, like, feet away.
We were going to share a popcorn, but then we were both like, nah, we don't want to get up and do all that. Yeah. And nah, dude, we had a great fucking time. Like, and the movie itself, after seeing some of the lore, I felt like almost that the movie did it even more justice. Again, knew nothing except for seeing a trailer, and I was like, it's an indie film, I want to fucking see it.
So it's rewarding when you do know or learn more about it, but it's not a disadvantage to not...
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, it makes it better.
That's a great spot to be in.
To be honest, it makes...
Tricky line to ride.
It made things that I thought about the movie, like we had to set our debrief afterwards, but there's some things about the movie that I thought after seeing the lore, a few things I was like, yep, I was right. Other things, I was like, nope, I was way off.
But aren't both of those like really satisfying, though, for something like that? Where
incredibly.
You get that dopamine rush of getting something right, and then you get that like, oh, shit, I was way off.
Those are the kinds of movies that make me want to watch them again. Mm-hmm. That's why I like stuff like fucking Attack on Titan that we were talking about.
Yep.
That's why I've seen that whole series like three times.
I'm not positive. I think Osprey has Attack on Titan themed gear.
Oh, no, he has Assassin's Creed gear.
Okay, there was something they wore this week.
He might have done...
Oh, like a one-off?
At some point, I feel like I recall this.
I rarely notice it, but like this week he had some shit on that was like dark green, and it had this design that for some reason I thought... It's probably Assassin's Creed, but I thought it was Attack on Titan, but I don't know.
Well, there are similar suits for Attack on Titan from like Assassin's Creed, like not Revelations, what am I thinking of? Unity is one of them. And then what was the French one? Anybody? Anybody? Nobody? Okay. There's also that. So, like, Assassin's Creed has different, like, time eras.
Oh, okay.
Like, the Renaissance era, there's fucking...
Maybe
like
that's
the like, the Revolutionary War and shit like that. So, and, like, Japan. So, it spans all over the place. But no, Backrooms, I really liked it. Now I have 1,000 more theories, and now I want to watch it again just to see if those theories are correct and, like, pay more attention.
It's a rarity for me to say this, but, like, I kind of do want a sequel, but I also kind of just want the sequels to be, like, not, like, I want it to be in the same universe, so to speak. I don't want it to be, like, a direct
sequel. If it's a sequel, it's an anthology.
Yes, thank you, an anthology version of it. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I really
enjoyed
it. Yeah. Cloverfield. I'll buzz through this one real quick. Last night I watched a movie called Raw. No, not the...
Biz War.
Not the weekly...
The Monday night program.
The longest running weekly episodic television program in all of television history.
From the market leader in sports and entertainment. No, I watched...
The world is watching!
I watched Raw, a French horror film from 2017.
They get the taste for human meat.
They do. And I...
As made famous on several Watch Mojo lists.
Yeah. Liked it, didn't love it. I needed, for a movie about cannibalism, I kind of needed more cannibalism.
That's an insane thing to say on a recorded meeting. No.
Have you ever seen Bones and All?
No, I've heard it's great, though.
It's nuts.
Yeah. These sound like movies I will be actively avoiding.
Your thing.
No, Raw, honestly, I wouldn't even recommend to, like, most horror fans. It was fine. There was stuff in it where I went, ugh! But there wasn't enough of that for, like, and it's a short movie. Like, I remember when the cannibalism really hit the thingy.
Yeah.
I paused it just to, like, I was like, oh, shit, this is a good, like, this is a tipping point. I gotta go to the bathroom. I need whatever. Paused it. Literally the halfway mark of the film. Because, like, the timestamp comes up. And I was like, I'm halfway through this before we're getting to the fucking, no pun intended, meat and bones of what this is? Like, fuck! But it was good. It just wasn't as... It had been hyped to me. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Because I had been told, like, no, man, this is the shit. And I was like, yeah, good, not great.
It's kind of a one-scene movie in some ways, I think.
Oof. Yeah.
But that one, for me, at least,
it kind of makes the rest of the movie.
Yeah, boy, howdy. All right, now we can get, now that the foreplay is done.
Thank you, fucking
Unless God. You guys have more foreplaying that you would like to do.
Okay. No, I'm wet already.
I, for one, am ready for penetration. I think is what we're doing here,
Come
right?
Come and fuck this metaphorical podussy.
Oh! Oh, no.
So many people just turned off the podcast.
Forever!
Oh, yeah.
We lost some
Instagram
people.
Clip right there.
Folks, we watched Mask versus Mask, El Grande Americano versus El Grande Americano Original.
Junior.
From the Dead Man's promotion of... Ah!
Yeah.
Ah!
Yeah.
I actually watched this live.
Same.
We were chatting about it. I watched the opener. I turned it off and did, like, had dinner and whatever the fuck else. Good day. It was a wild day. That was the day that Meg got her car.
Yeah.
Came back literally just in time for the main event. So I watched the opener. I watched the main. Opener was Ray Phoenix and...
Laredo Kid.
Yeah.
This was the first, like, AAA show I'd, like, actually kind of sort of seen live, I guess. Like, maybe
same.
Ever. I thought Phoenix and Laredo Kid was, like, a good spot-driven opener, where it's just like, we're out here.
Go out there, do the high show.
Yeah.
The high spots.
Let me be honest with you. I think this whole show, T2B, ruled.
No, I like the opener. I love the main. Yeah. We'll get to it. You saw the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, what was it? The War Raiders, right?
Yeah. That's right.
Versus Los Paganos?
Yes. And they won the fucking tag straps. I didn't think that was even on the cards. They came out with luchador masks, and then they took them off, and I was upset. Mm. I wish they had kept them on the whole match.
That would have been cool.
But still, I...
Like Viking-style luchador masks?
Yeah.
With, like, horns and...
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
Are they not awesome. Paired with Hijo del Vikingo?
I don't think so.
Damn it! What are we doing? This was their debut, I think. Wasn't it? Like, it was like...
I don't know, actually. That'd be crazy. I thought they'd been there a couple times.
Oh, man, I don't know.
I just assumed. I don't know.
Right.
Because I haven't seen any tag team wrestling on the WWE, you see.
They... man.
It doesn't exist.
There was... Again, this is one of those, like, things that you just hear online or whatever, blah, blah, blah. It gets aggregated by whatever you follow. And there was something recently about, like, WWE looking to renew interest in tag wrestling. And it's like, bullshit! Could have fucking fooled me! You just fired several of your best teams!
Yeah. Like,
that were loved! Like... And two of them were good. Two of the teams, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Love the New Day. Love the Machine Guns.
You could ever let either of them walk?
I don't...
Okay. How far off do you think we are from the Curse versus the New Day?
It's several miles.
Specifically, Amina and Brayden.
It's versus more
the New Day.
It's
you.
Close.
I feel like you having a match with Kofi or Xavier, like just the New Day, like gimmick with your like keep wrestling pure, would be phenomenal.
What happened to the sport that I loved?
Fine, me and you. Pancakes, trumpets. I'll be the one that bumps around, and you get to be the one that yells at people.
I like that.
It's a good
I like
deal.
That.
I'll bump around for Kofi. So
that would
fun
be
fact,
fucking great for B.
Kofi
Thank
Kingston
you.
Is the reason I even made a Twitter. Like, I literally didn't even have a computer at the time. I signed up at my friend's house, made a Twitter, followed him, and then got notifications so I could get text messages every time he tweeted.
Yeah.
So, like, every time he tweeted, I would just pop open my flip phone, click on it.
Yeah.
Like, hell yeah. Kofi said the truth for Kofi.
It's crazy because, like, for me, it took me a little while to come around to Kofi just because, like, the original gimmick was a little...
Oh, he was my gosh. As soon as the first vignette of the Jamaican dude, I was
yeah.
about it. I feel
okay.
like also...
I was real bummed on Kofi.
I also feel like at that time, with wrestling and shit like that, just, like, representation of any manner,
somebody
doing a vignette is a fucking big deal.
It is.
So it's like, oh, fuck, I don't care if he's Jamaican or not. Like,
right.
He kind of looks like me, so fuck.
Him pouring all the orange paint all over Randy Orton's race car...
So funny.
...is...
Great.
So good.
It's
that was good stuff.
So fucking good.
I was going to say, like, once he got in there and was, like, actually having, like... He had a real ripper of a match with Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
On a pay-per-view. And I remember that was, like, the tipping point. I was like, oh, shit. Because you just hadn't seen him in that, like, position yet. And I was like, oh, this guy can fuck, like... And then he just had, like, a really long...
Dude, his feud with Orton, even though it produced the stupid moment...
Yeah.
But the fact that they were able to repay that, like, years later is fucking...
Yeah, and also, like, it gave us the fucking boom drop off the stack of crates through the table. Like, Kofi was a baller kind of from day one.
Oh, yeah, big shot.
I was about the boom drop.
Yeah,
that was...
Awesome.
There, dude, you will have to dive deep. But if you dive deep enough... You can find trampoline wrestling entertainment. To where I and my friends would wrestle, and one of my moves was the boom drop.
Oh yeah,
boom, boom. Mm.
You know what would be a good singles match for him if, and in my opinion, when they do jump ship to the AEW, is actually Kofi versus Kevin Knight.
Ooh.
I think
yes.
that.
Yes.
I think that could fucking.
Really yes.
Cook. Anyways, so we watched this Triple H.
Mask versus mask.
Mask versus mask.
See?
Put it in this blood.
We need to see. Always needed a little more foreplay.
Put it in my pussy.
You thought you were ready. Turns out you
weren't.
Now you're moist. Now we're
my
loose.
Pod port.
We are ready to go. Let's pod port into this thing, guys.
I love this match. Like,
dude, the idea of calling it a port.
I fucking love this. I love this mask match.
Yeah.
I loved everything about it. I love the insanity when you, like, really look at what's going on.
Yeah.
But it's so over. The match itself was so fucking... The match was good, and it's so perfectly overbooked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is what WrestleMania 40 was trying to be.
Yep. Agree.
I agree.
100% agree.
And that match would have been helped by blood, which this match has in...
Buckets.
Buckets. Like, we just finished watching the post-match
Chad Gable, segment. What a man.
Just...
Ludwig Kaiser. What a man.
The in-ring's awesome. I love that, like, it's since...
They're not doing moves.
No.
No one in this match really does what I would call a pro wrestling move. No.
He finishes a running headbutt.
Yeah.
Original El Grande Americano was doing a lot of, like, wrestling tosses.
Yeah. It's so good.
Like, dude, when I...
And just flying at you, and I'm beating you up. This is how you book a blow-off to an angle. This is my favorite kind of wrestling, is specifically big blow-off matches.
Mm.
Because, like, it means so much more. They do all of this presentation beforehand. They tell you the entire story. They both get crazy entrances. We have a hot start. And it's just, like, they were shooting for Rock Austin in the Grande Americano universe.
Yeah.
And, like, you have to commit on stuff like this. And they do it in such a believable way.
Big time.
Every outside person that got involved had a reason to be there.
Right.
Because they had previously been involved.
They were all part of this story.
It's not just run-ins for run-ins' sake.
Okay.
Why is The Undertaker...
Hear me out. Yeah. See? Okay, that's my point right here. Is this is Mark's way of being like, listen, guys, I know it should have been Austin during the I get it. I know I probably should have showed up in Gimme. I get it. For that apology, El Grande Americano versus the original El Grande Americano.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
And speaking of Taker, like I said this earlier, like, this is just Taker trying to make good on the shitty Undertaker versus fake Undertaker feud.
Yes.
Oh, shit, yeah. Dude, if you think about it, he's got this job, right? And he's almost stumbled into the job that all four of us dream of getting, of here's a company. You book it. You have a $1 billion company backing you. Mm-hmm. And all he's doing is shit that he...
He's playing with action figures.
He's playing with action figures.
You're damn right.
He's doing the shit that he watched as a kid.
Yeah.
And just modern... Or it's shit that, like...
What if this was good?
Right. He's modernizing and adapting it and just being like, let's just fucking do this or whatever. Like, and it works.
I'm starting... after watching this match, like, it's kind of... Who did we say agented it? Pete Dunne?
Yeah.
Pete Dunne. Like, Pete Dunne really, like... I think is to credit for a lot of this, but also, like, the booking leading up, I'd love to know how much The Undertaker was actually involved in, like,
this one of the executive producers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But so is, you know, old Paul.
Exactly. Like, to what extent he's actually involved.
In name, I'm sure, but, like, you know, like...
But this just, like, it's proof that you can just put a new coat of paint on old wrestling, and it will be better than... anything you're trying to, like...
Dude, if you just, like, every so often...
Yeah,
if you just
that's
so
what
often,
I mean, yeah.
If you just modernize something and you add a little bit, maybe you take away some of the shit that didn't work, you know, whatever. Like, storylines can... In time, you gotta... For, like, very specific ones, you have to give them more time. Obviously.
There is a reason why shows like Days of Our Lives and Passions and all those soap operas... that have been going on for 50 years plus are going.
Yeah.
You wanna know why? Because the shit that they're doing in season 72 is the same shit they were doing in season 5.
Right.
They just have it with new actors, give it a little bit more flair, and that's it.
And everyone has more fleshed out backstories this time.
Right. Yes, exactly.
Like, it's just...
We know what we did wrong. If it ain't broke...
Yeah. And this is how wrestling should be. Is like, this is the reason why having a deep knowledge of professional wrestling is important. Because
yes.
You can still do new things by just taking the old stuff. I'll set a limit 25 years ago.
Sure.
You know, and at the very least 25 years ago.
Sure.
You know, and just update it for today, and like the true essence of pro wrestling will always be maintained.
Yeah.
People say everything old is new again for a reason.
Yeah. And like we were chatting about it like while it was happening live, but like you even brought up like it was good enough to make you want to watch AAA.
Yeah.
Like, isn't that the fucking the goal of all goals for yeah. a wrestling show to be like, wow, that was good enough, I want to do it again.
Yeah.
Like,
that's the whole pro wrestling business model.
It has to be.
What will make these people come back to see it again?
I thought,
and again, and again, and again, and again.
For me, like, we started to talk about it, like, before we started to record, but, like, the shit about the match that I love the most was how it doesn't feel like a WWE match. Even though, like I said earlier, the fucking logo's on the canvas, the turnbuckles, it's on the fucking, like, I get it. But it doesn't follow the same format.
Yeah.
They're not. Also, Chad Gable's not even wrestling like Chad Gable here. Yeah. He is wrestling a completely different character in a different style. Whoever this other El Grande Americano is clearly not wrestling like he's an Austrian guy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they both learned the fucking, like, the thing about it to me, I think, that makes it the best is that it is actually sincerely over.
Yeah.
And it's not just
manufactured.
Manufactured. It's not just a bit. Murals.
Murals. Parades. This man, like, he got bailed out of jail.
Yeah.
And these people said, our goat has come back.
Like, he is Montekia from that episode of South Park.
They're literally cutting the promos about how, like, you know, it doesn't matter where you're born, you're part of this culture. And I'm like, that's amazing. Like, that's how you get a babyface the fuck over. And he's, the crowd on this is astonishingly up.
Yeah. Like, this match is good, so it's not even a Rock Hogan thing where, like, the crowd makes the match.
Right.
It's like the match is good, and also this is a just completely, like, once-in-a-lifetime type crowd.
Yeah. Like, I watched this with Jake, and at the beginning of the show, he was like, oh, so basically this is, what did he say? He said this is a AAA show. Wait, hold on. This is a WWE show with AAA logos everywhere? I was like, sure. No. It's probably more closely a AAA show with WWE logos everywhere.
Right. And I think that was actually more accurate, because, like, Psycho Clown, don't get me wrong, I know he's done an appearance or two here and there, but, like, he ain't going to be a mainstay on SmackDown or Raw. But you know what I mean? Like, Vikingo.
Pretty cool, though.
Pretty cool. Like, but there's also just not room for him on those shows. Like,
yeah.
I have no problem with what WWE's done with AAA because they bought it. The working relationship bullshit, I always have a problem with.
Yeah.
You bought that company. Brother, you can do whatever the fuck you want with it. It's yours.
Call Sally.
And it seems like they've done well with
That's a nice company. I like it. Just like I liked it when I bought it. Anyway.
Dude, the segment in total is like, what, 45 minutes?
Kim, I just tell you, the fucking absolute shock when that mask came off and it was seen to be Chad Gable. I wanted to believe him when he said he wasn't. But, like, I should have known better. And that's on me. What a guy, though.
I will add to the non-WWE feel of it. When he did reveal himself to be Chad Gable,
he said, blood, 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 blood.
One, there's tons of blood. Still, the match had been over for minutes at that point.
Let me get it again.
Yeah.
Get
it back.
He learned that from Eric Cannon. 100,000,000%.
Yeah.
That is an Eric Cannon staple, is get it again before you take photos.
Yeah. I've seen him do it.
Crazy.
But, like, the fact that, okay, this is the stipulation of the match, this is the gravity of the stipulation, and we adhered to it, and it felt sincere, like...
And Chad didn't play it goofy, or, like, no. He was trying to... It was so serious, and with such commitment,
that this business like used to be more. Built on respect.
God,
and goddamn it, did they get it tonight.
Fucking... Yeah, you're right, he does the, like, the honorable, like, I lost. Had a deal, agreed to it.
If this were a WWE show...
Run in.
Oh, no, 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 no. And some fucking big baby, well, the Big Show, maybe,
yeah, probably
20 years ago, he would have bopped him on the face, and then he would have taken the mask off. Wait, didn't they do this bit with CM Punk?
They literally
Oh my god!
You got oddly specific with the Big Show.
Was that and
the,
like we said,
I was picturing a large presence behind
Chad. What you do
people,
in history.
In 2026, it would be Omos would come out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, which Omos was on the show earlier because he's paired with Vikingo, which I think is fucking awesome pairing.
Oh, that's incredible.
That's why I want to watch
Heel Vikingo.
Is awesome.
Yeah.
Really?
People he's such a shithead. It's so great.
But, like, is he actually, like, leaning into it and working as a heel now?
Yes.
Or is he
and he's still getting his shit in.
I desperately need to see this.
He hits the meanest 630 I've ever seen.
They all are.
But this is, like, mean on purpose.
How do you put Stank on a 630?
At the last second, he really, like, tucked his head a little bit
more. He Sonics out.
Yeah.
He got a Sonic out.
He does a 1738
centon. Remy, boys.
Someone's going to do the math on that and figure out that the number of degrees would send him right onto his cranium. Anyway.
But, yeah, man, check it out. That's a Joe Bob Says.
Absolutely.
Check it the fuck out. It's free on YouTube. You have no reason not to watch that.
Yeah, highly recommend.
This is also free on YouTube. The main event is.
Ding, 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 ding. Oh, yeah, we have a podcast to do, don't we?
We have a pod show. The Podussy is.
The Podussy. It is ready.
I hate.
NXT, the week before AEW Dynamite debuts.
The penultimate pre-Dynamite NXT.
They had already been being petty for weeks at this point. I did not realize the extent to which they said, fuck you.
Me neither. That makes me want to watch the week before this, which is their first two-hour episode.
Well, we have a show next
Holy
week.
Holy shit.
But, the fucking video package really screams of, nothing else is happening next week, you stay right here.
That's right, you stay right here, uh-huh.
Uh-huh. The video package made me have the thought of, is this the birth of this idea of epic puppet master Triple H, or had we already been doing this?
We've been there. We had been there since NXT got good.
Okay. Yeah. Show starts with the Undisputed Era in this thing that I called an elevated cul-de-sac.
Remember the NXT platform? Vince got thrown off of it that one time to show Pat McAfee how much of a pussy he is.
Yeah.
You ever see that clip?
I have.
Yeah.
Of Vince being like, fuck it, I'll take the bump.
70 plus
years. I think it's Gronk.
Is it Gronk?
Yeah,
because
he's the one who I think at that it's the pandemic mania.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. Football guy.
But I remember that clip because he is so old. His head snaps back so easily. No tuck in the chin. He gets up like nothing. And I guarantee you, the second he's out of sight, he's.
Like a worker.
There is no greater Schadenfreude I get in this day and age than watching Vince McMahon get hurt.
Yeah.
And luckily, there is so many good clips of it. I have saved in my camera roll the clip of Kevin Steen shoot headbutting him and fucking hardwaying Vince McMahon. It's beautiful.
Do you have a favorite Vince's clearly in pain moment? Because I, in this moment, I think
I got an idea.
I think I may have thought of mine.
Him taking ribs first off the cage, the announce table.
That's the, with Austin?
Yeah.
That shitty black. It is such an ugly, ugly shit fucking bump. Because he's trying, he's not trained, but he's trying to like do a bump onto that table.
Yeah, he wants to go cleanly through that table and instead he hits it with only his middle ribs.
It is.
Like, oh my god.
And he's
5 feet
plus
lower than him. 8 feet out, and he has to jump.
Mine will forever be The Rumble with Batista and Cena.
Oh my god.
He charges down, tears both his legs, and has to sit there while still trying to commit to the bit of yelling at the refs while seated.
I was watching that live with my buddies at the time, and I remember saying, like, what the fuck is he doing? And here's the thing. He's such a bizarre person.
It didn't seem too out of the
room. On either side, that, like, everyone in the room is just kind of like, I think that's just what he's doing.
Yeah, he's sitting there.
Yeah,
he's that mad. Okay.
Nobody considered the idea that he was actually hurt. They just thought it was a dumb thing.
My favorite Vince McMahon match is, and also moment where he's in pain, I guess, is WrestleMania 22, Shawn Michaels. It is just, I watched it so many times, mostly because I had it on DVD, but I watched it so fucking many times, and the image of him bleeding, strapped to a gurney with the middle finger up still. I love it. Yeah. That's iconic.
He has that gusher in that match with Taker, Survivor Series 03.
That happens like 10 seconds into the match.
I remember we timed it because we covered that for the show.
I love
it's
that.
Less than a minute, and he's pissing blood.
When we did that, we separately, without even communicating with each other, timed different times.
Uh-huh.
I think I did, like, from the bell, and you did from contact or something
that. Yeah, it was something like...
And they're both ridiculously low figures.
It's something like, from the bell, it's less than a minute. From contact, it's like 8 seconds. Like, Taker punches him, and his head is
burst. Blood. You know what this show doesn't have, though? Any blood.
No.
That's true.
But what it does have is Keith Lee in the opener with an awesome theme song that I forgot how much I actually liked it.
Keith Lee in NXT is the fucking man.
Yeah.
The moment maker.
Him and Dijak, and I was like... Like, I know we talked about it the last time we did one of these, the head-to-head episode of NXT, but this was... I can't get that thought out the back of my mind of, oh, you like that type of wrestling? We got that. What is it? You said, you stay here.
Yeah.
So my thought while watching this match,
this was awesome,
was simply, and a one, and a two, and a go, and a stop, and a set, and a go. And
yeah.
There was a lot of that. Was it athletic as fuck and what they were doing? Super cool. Yeah. But like, it was just cool. Nothing
this
like
was,
stuck. Because
for
their
third
going.
Encounter, I expected more.
Oh, yeah.
What they said. This is
the
third one.
The trilogy,
one of them went
yeah.
to a time limit or a double count out or whatever. One of them, Dijak, won.
Mm-hmm.
So then after this one, they're one apiece,
yeah.
is what they said or whatever. But I was like, for their third encounter, I expected...
It didn't
get
feel...
into that gear that you'd expect.
It kind of just felt like they were greatest hitsing this.
And there were a couple things that just, I don't think, went their way.
Yeah.
That kind of contributed to this.
I did really, really fucking like this, though. Like, overall, I was entertained by this. And it made me have the thought of, I think that both of these guys are dropped balls.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, how do you not do something with fucking Dijak?
Because Keith Lee didn't want to be called a Bearcat.
He shouldn't have been called.
Like, no, and like didn't want to wear a singlet. Why? Because it didn't work for him. Like, let Keith Lee just be Keith Lee.
Hired him for a reason.
That's another instance of Vince dropping the ball with somebody that was super hot in NXT. As soon as it went to the main roster, it was fucked.
Dude, that was a plague of that for a while. Like, Karrion Kross, like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, you...
That might be my favorite thing that WWE loves to do is, like, oh, this thing that you're doing is getting a lot of eyes, including our own. Why don't we change that? Why don't we change all of that?
What if we made it bad?
Yeah. So the War Raiders... Cool.
You're the Viking Raiders Viking experience, War Vikings.
What if you guys were like, what if people could experience you?
Yeah.
What if you guys just didn't even go with war at all? What if we were like, I don't know, you guys kind of look like Vikings, right? What if you could experience Vikings? What? I got it. You two? Viking experience. Sign them up. Let's
go. Sounds like a theme park, Vince, that nobody goes to. Like,
sounds like a theme park? That means
also,
it's marketable.
They've been tag team champions at least one time for their company as the War Raiders.
Right.
I think.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, it was War Raiders, And then Viking Experience.
No, it was Viking War Raiders. Machine
before I thought it was Viking Experience, then it was Viking Raiders.
Viking Experience, then Viking Raiders.
Yeah, then oh Viking Raiders. God,
yeah.
And then they got War Raiders.
Can I be honest? Back in the day, before they got signed and they were just called War Machine?
Yeah, that's what, yeah.
What an awesome name for a fucking team in the first place.
Yeah. Like,
just do that.
But they can't.
Call them Machines of War instead of War Machine, at the very least.
And guess what?
It still works.
And then you can have, then you can call them M.O.Dub, okay? There's your Legion of Doom for the modern era.
Sure. Oh my god, yeah.
There's your AOP.
There's or that, your, yeah.
What they tried to do with them.
Fucking obsessed with initials. It's right that GTS. Like, shut the fuck up. Like,
SDFU.
Oh my god, it's everywhere. There is the most painful, devastating looking plancha I have ever seen in pro wrestling. Is in
ooh,
this match.
He hits a blow.
I thought honestly, the first time I saw it like live, I thought Dijak's knee went backwards.
Oh yeah.
Holy shit.
It's catching that. It's a big boy.
There's a lot in this that is just like the right kind of ugly, but yeah, then you're right, there's a lot of like start stop in this.
I have one note on this match late in my notes here that's very coded for this podcast, where I literally wrote down, because it was towards the end when they were really like fucking we're throwing bombs, we're doing cool shit, there's avalanche destroyers or whatever, and I just wrote down, I like him P-Dub-G. Because I was like, I've seen a version of this.
Oh, yeah.
That was undiluted and unfiltered.
Yeah. Because there is a black and gold NXT Dijak versus Keith Lee match that happens at some point that features one of my favorite spots of all time. It's where Keith Lee is seated in an announce table chair. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Not the table chair, but the chair.
The chair table, yeah.
And he fucking does a springboard flip onto Keith Lee on the chair.
That's awesome.
And it looked, from the worker's lens, really safe, yeah, all things considered. But it just looked insane. It's just awesome. I love that type of shit. So I was expecting more of that gear.
A question for you guys. Having now met, fully experienced, and worked with Dijak, I'm talking to you two.
Yeah.
I work with Dijak.
Oh yeah, fuck. I'm sorry, forgot. You all, everyone here but me.
It's fine. I'll fuck off.
You
guys are too similar in height.
Yeah.
Did, that's part of the appeal, isn't it?
Can't do bigger than him.
Seeing him do this shit now that you've actually like been in the ring with him, do you have a different appreciation for like?
Oh my fucking god! Yeah.
Biggest. Okay. Yeah.
My favorite quote ever is from Dijak, and I never even heard it from Dijak. It's from Connor telling me what Dijak said.
Mm.
That your safety is my top priority, but your comfort is not.
Oh yeah, that's a gem.
It's a fucking bar.
Oh yeah, man.
When you told me that, my mind exploded. I'm good. I just opened one.
Like, one of my favorite Dijak quotes is just a moment in the locker room. It's not even a quote, really, but it's just a moment in the match is happening, and we're watching the monitor in the back. And there's some fucking they're doing it all.
Yeah.
There's some crazy fucking head drop and a kick out. And Dijak just fucking laughs and walks away. It was so funny to me.
Trying to call a match, he literally goes, first thing's like, alright guys, so I know this sounds weird coming from me, but I don't think we need a lot of falsies.
So he's self-aware.
Oh, he is okay, so self-aware.
Yeah, oh my god, dude.
He literally, and multiple times, he's like, I don't think we need to, I understand. He's like, I get it.
I wish I wouldn't have been so nervous working with him, and I think if I got a second chance, it'd be a lot easier, but he's just so fucking big and imposing.
Yeah.
Like, I think you see him doing springboards.
Yeah.
I got chopped by him.
Me too. It sucks.
I'm a chopper, yeah, so I know how to take it. Jesus Christ. Comfort, it was not.
Yeah. fuck, what was I gonna say? I hate when that happens. That might be my least favorite thing about living. The human condition.
The whole experience is just forgetting what you're saying.
I hate that shit. Let me forget why I entered a room two times a day before I forget one thing that I say per day. I fucking hate that shit. Anyway.
That's ADHD, dude.
Let's not bog down the podcast medium by moving on.
Hey,
I did.
You do not bog down anything, my friend. Your voice matters.
Thank you.
Anyway.
But I do agree, let's move on.
Yeah.
I did really like this match. I do not recall what the finish was.
It
was
a big fucking catastrophe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Doing the Big Bang Catastrophe.
Fire McCary Jack.
Fun fact, that's a Dragon Ball Z reference.
Oh.
For Prince Vegeta.
And not a BBC reference?
Weird.
What?
Both of his finishers are Dragon Ball Z references.
You wanna know why? Because he's a huge anime nerd like your boy.
That
tracks. I figured. I fucking hate this shit. Spirit Bomb's a great move name, so I guess I'm stuck with it.
Yeah, lend me your energy, bitches. Because Goku puts his hands up like this to collect the spirit bomb. So the reason why he calls Spirit Bomb Power Bomb, he lifts up, not like these other bitches that just happen right here. You bring him all the way up here. Arms raised, like Goku, getting the spirit bomb, and guess what? Here comes the bomb. Boom, and he throws it, right? Power bomb. So really, it makes a really good, like, when you know the reference.
I did know the reference.
Yeah, I know, but
I was just positive that it would be funny if he didn't like it. Anyway.
Fuck
so,
you, man.
There's a Street Drop.
Whoa.
Street Profits video.
Yeah.
Honey Bravo.
That's all.
Elvis.
Potato.
There is way too much going on.
Dakota Kai versus Ty Mello?
Yeah.
Ty Nara.
This was around the time where I started to do the thing again of like, does anyone on this show still work here? And then I remembered, oh wait, hang on, we're only a week removed from the last time.
So we can continue the game from last week.
So far, Undisputed Era in the cul-de-sac, gone. Keith Lee, gone. Dijak,
gone.
Riddle fights Imperium, mostly gone. Possibly masked. Dakota Kai versus Ty Mello,
gone.
Anyways, we gotta talk about this match, though. I actually liked this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a huge infatuation with Dakota Kai during this time.
I did not think Dakota Kai was very good in this, unfortunately. There's a lot of things for her being a striker that she completely fucking whiffed on, and a few of them were too many for me to abide by.
Not by Dakota Connor.
No. Yeah. I, like...
My only note on this actual match, besides I hate the fact... I hate seeing giant knee braces on tiny wrestlers. It just... I don't know, like...
Sure, yeah. It's like a disconnect. Like
no, it just kind of... I kind of feel bad, and a part of me can't get away from that, because I think of Tegan Knox every time. And it's just... Anyway, but my only note on the match is on this bullshit Benadryler called the GTK. Worst awful move name.
Terrible. Yeah.
Name.
Terrible.
Worst move I think I've ever seen in my life. It's lazy in both name and
it
movement.
Was, like, and she didn't even actually hit it clean.
No.
So, like, that was a big reason why I was... Like, there are two things you have to nail, in my opinion, in wrestling. The entrance and the finish.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
Go to kick.
I hate it.
Kick is not a place. Like it's a place. You fucking.
It's her shin.
I had a
no.
Go to Kalamazoo. I had one note.
Go to kangaroo.
But they call it go to kick, so it can't be anything else that makes more sense, even if we wanted it to.
I had one note on this match, and it was just one of those things where it's like, is there something for you in wrestling, like a move, a spot, a sequence, a thing, where no matter what, when you see it, you're just kind of like, huh. I like it.
I was going to say, good way or bad way?
No, in a good way. Like some people would be like, I'll use an example here, a moonsault. Like, when you, what is yours? If you see a good moonsault, you're just kind of like, I like that.
Okay, the caveat being good, not necessarily any at all.
No, for me, it's almost any at all, because she threw Kawada kicks in this match, and I
was
just
really
like...
They were really fun Kawada kicks, too.
I was like, I like the Kawada kicks, and that's just one of those things that always pops me.
For me, the drop-down spot where the heel drops down out of the ring.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It never happens.
Drop down, go over. The heel eventually jumps out of the ring. Yeah, no, that's good stuff.
I always, like, when I see people do it and I see them going for it, I immediately am, like, am so fucking bought in. Same with everyone is injured.
On the off chance that we do remember after a recording, I have a story about the drop down spot that I don't want to tell in a recorded medium.
Good!
Yeah.
Honestly, every time I see a good drop kick, I'm like,
mm.
A drop kick? Yeah.
Yep. Good one.
The only one I'm thinking of is so niche. No one does it. It's the Spiral Tap.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. Is my favorite top rope maneuver.
Did we determine it to be the all-time best?
Have we done that as a tournament yet?
Yeah.
We didn't do top rope.
We didn't do tournament, but we did some sort of debate on it.
Definitely not me, because...
Oh, we did maybe
the
a top
high
threes.
Flyer
has
oh. not been a part
Remember
of this
we
debate?
Did the top threes episode bonus?
Yeah.
Where you were...
Oh, we did top three top threes.
Okay.
It was part of the top three top threes episode.
Because I would love to do a tournament debate show about top rope maneuvers.
That would be
fucking incredible.
Yeah,
I will state it right now. These shooting star presses.
Pile driver.
No, not mine.
Pile driver.
Not mine. Jesus Christ. That's
your fucking foot, by the way. Awesome. Pile driver is always going to be the coolest move. No, I do the safe Pepsi plunge, and even that one is not safe.
The dichotomy of on literally one side of me as I'm seated. Yeah, the best top rope move is a shooting star press, and on the other side it's pile driver, easily, by a mile. That's
an easier bump for me.
Like, I thought it was weird to see Ty Mello in this setting because I always forget that she was signed to the Fed.
My brain does this thing where
that was me
first time I see your face. That's where I know you from forever, and I'll never forget that. So I watched the Mae Young Classic when it happened, and I was like, that's where I know you from forever now.
That's how I felt about a tag team that we will be talking about here shortly.
Oh my god! Also, I need to look it up. I should have looked it up for the purposes of the show. There's some weird trivia thing about Ty Mello, because she was on Mania on like the pre-show for like a women's battle royal, and then later that year was on some big show for AEW because she got released. Like she got, I think she got released like right after Mania of whatever year it was, and I can't remember. But it was one of those like weird,
where they did like a woman's Andre or whatever.
Five years from now, there'll be some bizarre trivia about like who was the only person to compete at WrestleMania and All in the same count. You know what I mean? And it'll end up being it's
2021 or something.
Yeah, this was just another like, hey, you want some wrestling?
Yeah.
Oh, I heard you like that women's wrestling on the indies.
Yeah, we have that.
Yeah, I actually, by the way, I wrote down weak finish in regards to the fucking...
Yeah, it's just bad. It's shite.
The Benadriller, to me, is a silly move, but it's better than this.
What do you... Because Ricochet does the fucking...
And
like,
it looks like he kills him.
Yeah.
What is the Benadriller?
Fireman carry,
yeah.
Pop you off. In essence, you land on your feet into like a head kick, like Mirko.
The detonation kick?
Yeah.
For me, it is the you take a bump and you do it, not the fucking set you down next to me and then do a separate buzzsaw. I hate that version.
Are we talking about the same move, just different
performance?
Okay, yeah. Our next contest. Killian Dane versus Riddle in a street fight, I guess, because that didn't come into play until, in my mind, deep in the match.
Until they needed it for a specific bit, and then that was it. This match kind of sucked. Big style.
I didn't really like this nearly as much. This one was the first one where, like, I know we watched next week's episode, but I'm just like, you think we're going to get Killian Dane versus Adam Cole?
Bro, my first note on this wrote down, the outcome has no doubt.
Yeah.
Like, to your point, I know the outcome because I've watched the following program. If I hadn't and had washed that from my brain, I'd be like, in all fairness, sometimes this is just a wrestling problem. You have a heel champion, right? Mm-hmm. You have your number one contenders match between a heel and a babyface.
Right.
I get that.
But when you think of the guy that just came in versus the resident bad guy.
Right.
That's when it's kind of like, oh, yeah, we see the writing on the wall.
And it's... My biggest problem with this match was it was just long. This felt...
Yeah,
this
took for fucking ever.
Fucking long.
And also, to be the opposite of the point from earlier about the AAA show, this one is so WWE...
I
have to put the L's in there. That it's WWE.
I literally
back from commercial and the heel's in control. Oh no!
I wrote down, and I mean this in a bad way, this match had video game energy.
Mm. Yeah, dude. It's very riddle back and forth, as I think is his only style, based on, yeah, lived experiences of the podcast. like, and I'm realizing it now watching him, like, oh, you only know how to remember, and then I do moves, and then I do moves, and then they do moves, and then they do moves, and then I do moves, and then I do moves. Like, that's all that this is.
Yeah.
And it's, like, not a great showing from Riddle, honestly.
I didn't think either of them, because I was like, I know they were trying to make Killian Dane, like, this...
Monster of the week.
Fucking. Monster of the week, upper mid-card, you know, it's Kane. Let's be honest, that's what it's always going to be.
It's Kane.
Like,
Killian Kane. Dillian Kane!
Wait, can we sidebar about Kane real quick? I've gotten real deep into typo negative, and only just this weekend found out that they did a Kane theme, and it's the best Kane theme that you have never heard.
Strong words.
I'm not even joking. This blows into the fire, like,
typo negative.
Would have won the tournament. If you don't know what we mean, go back a few podcasts back.
Yeah.
We did the tournament. Was that on Patreon?
I don't know. Yeah, typo negative. Unreleased. Are you a typo negative guy?
Are you aware? They have a couple things that, like, I enjoy.
Yeah. Unreleased.
There were, like, soundtracks that I liked.
Unreleased instrumental. No. You're not thinking of the right band.
Typo negative?
The 90s goth metal band?
I am thinking of the right band. They're on the soundtrack to 3,000 Miles to Graceland.
Are they really?
I would be willing to put some dollars at stake.
It's a three episode, sorry.
3 to 5 okay. dollars I would be willing to put at stake. Because I used to have the soundtrack to 3,000 Miles to Graceland and it kicked ass.
Because Typo Negative was on?
That's part of it, yeah.
So they have an unreleased Kane theme. It's an instrumental only. And it's We're fucking cooking. I was listening to it driving around Rochester last weekend with the girlfriend, and she, out of nowhere, just was like, wait, this song is so good. What is this?
This sounds awesome.
And I said, it's a Kane theme song. And she said, who's Kane?
Yes! Perfect answer.
Brother. Kane don't get lyrics in my head. That's why, as a fucking kid, I remember being like, don't...
Okay. He's not a talking guy.
He should have been.
Wonder all the world is gone. I don't care.
Would you like that song if it was given to someone else?
Probably.
Interesting.
Because,
I only say that it's a bad song because everyone says it's the best Kane theme. I don't hate the song.
Oh, you just don't like the way it matches the character.
It just does not. It's Kane's worst theme because it doesn't match Kane.
This is good podcast listening.
Yeah. I'm not sold on this yet.
Long intro.
It'd probably be trimmed, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bought in.
I mean, come the fuck on, dude. It's so fucking heavy and
I'm
so
probably
sick.
Gonna use that.
Everybody at home is like, yeah.
I'm gonna need you to send me that. And yeah. Also, I want to say on a recorded medium, I had my doubts because you made a strong claim.
Dude, it's so fucking
right
good. It's
wrong.
So good.
Send that to me also, and Bailey, I'm using that theme for someone. Don't worry about it.
Bailey, Arden listening.
He called dibs.
I didn't.
So Kane gets Killian Dane. I mean, gets squashed.
he gets tapped out.
Elongated squash.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what would have been a much hotter finish? Mm. Throw the chair knee. Should have just been a three count there.
That was fine.
Well, we have to get over the submission,
and that both the guys are really hard workers.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I literally wrote down, chair knee was hot as fuck, should have been the finish. I'm calling it now. Whatever the finish will be is not hotter than that. Oh, it's getting sloppy. They look lost. Yeah, that wasn't nearly as hot as the knee.
Thank you. Because I wrote something down that I didn't, like, I watched this a couple days ago. So I'm reading my notes, and even then I'm like, fuck, man, I don't remember what this was. And at one point, I just wrote down, fuck up! I don't know what it was in regards.
Does Riddle only know how to fuck up the spot leading into the finish?
There's something, like what he just said, there's something really clunky. Really fucking clunky.
Like, right, I'm noticing it's not enough to call it a pattern yet, but I'm saying, like, I might have this guy's whole career figured out if I watch a couple more matches more detailed.
So you might have this trend that we can identify.
Yeah.
Italicize, bold, underline.
Yes, strike through.
Yes. That perhaps there's a probability. You know what we should do?
What's
and not
that?
And when I say we, I mean anyone but us in this room.
Yeah.
Someone by we should watch like a lot of Matt Riddle matches, and they should try to identify with like seconds left before the finish, where is the fuck up?
Yeah.
Where do you think it is? Because I think in the last 2 minutes of a Matt Riddle match, the odds of a fuck up are like high.
Astronomical, I would assume.
You go 2 minutes, you go 1 minute left, like where do you narrow this down to?
I think it's maybe the last minute.
Last minute?
Depending on the length of the match.
But if he was having like a long match, like a really long match, it could feasibly be in like the last lap.
Say like a 10 minute match.
So if he was having like
a longer match.
If he was having like a
bell to bell 10 minute, no, I'm talking like a long match. Like I
like an hour long.
Yeah, sure. Let's go with that.
So I would
maybe like a TV 30.
A TV 30, so like free seg.
Yeah. You know,
so
yeah.
I would assume that the fuck up probably in a match going that long would probably happen some. Okay, if we're going 30,
it's got to be in the back third,
for sure.
Because at that point you've
early into the back third.
At that point, yeah, you've established the match. You've built the, you know, you built the story. You've set the tone.
We're becoming Norm Macdonald the podcast.
I would guess, all right, we're given 30 strict minutes bell to bell. I'm going to guess that the fuck up happens somewhere around 9 minutes, 11 seconds. Thank you.
Please, somebody else out there do the research.
It's becoming, how long can we spin the yarn?
My favorite thing about that was I started that as a sincere question, and then it just evolved instantaneously.
I got a hold of it.
I wrote down at this point, we are 40 minutes in to this program, and we have had, I wrote down 2 matches, which is not true because I had forgotten about the Dakota Kai Ty Mello one, but we've had 3 matches in 40 minutes.
It would only get worse from here.
Holy shit, dude. I thought this was the end of the show, by the way, because so Riddle goes up, and there's some like segment thing with like the Undisputed Era.
He breaks Adam Cole's wrist or whatever.
Yeah,
even though right. I think Cole probably had a broken wrist there. Mm-hmm. And
yes.
That was their way of explaining why he was in a cast the next week.
Right. But they do that, and I thought, I could have sworn I saw that fucking thing on the bottom of the screen pop up. And I thought, oh.
I think what they probably played like a up next something thing.
Okay, maybe
corner.
That's, and I just, yeah.
And they look the exact same. It's just.
Because then I convinced myself that this was a Monday Night Raw, Raw is War situation.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to the suck zone.
Dude, I gotta tell you, like, way back when you could get on Dish Network, right, and you could set shit to record, you couldn't just do Monday Night Raw. You had to suggest, or record, Monday Night Raw and the WWF Warzone. They were 2 separate things on the fucking guide.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable to me.
Go to bed, pussies. It's time for the Warzone.
Right. You've watched 1 hour of this filth. Now it's time to go to sleep before it gets dirty.
Now it's time to get filthy. Undisputed Era, there's a lot of them going, what the heck?
This bit at the end of the Riddle thing goes on for... ever, because
so
Morrow has
me
to
believe that that was the end of the show.
Morrow has to read War and Peace for a second while Riddle is standing on the stage because he's reading everything that they're going to do for the next month, it seems like. And then once he finishes that, they cut back to Riddle because they have to cut back to Riddle before they cut to commercial. What are we doing? And we come back from commercial, Undisputed Era still in the ring with Riddle's music playing. And I'm like, why? Riddle's not there anymore.
This is why I wrote down, what is this pacing? Because something you're saying is so fucked.
It legitimately feels like they had 2 1-hour TV's written.
Yeah.
What if it's just like they had two separate writers on the same episode, and they said, you take the back half, you take the front half.
Right, and then they both wrote an ending.
Yes.
When did they go to 2 hours?
That's just what they're used to. Like, all right, I gotta finish up with my part.
According to my research, the week before this is their first 2 hours. I'll do further
research
right here.
So did they just take the couple of weeks of TV that they had written for 1 hour and combine it all into a couple of 2 hour episodes and then kind of just...
You might go from there. Be right. They might have just like, hey, film a couple extra, and like,
yeah.
In essence, done what we do for this podcast and had some shit in the hopper.
What are you talking about?
And then just,
I'd have a beer.
Tacked it on because like, this feels like a show closing segment. Even if it did or did not pop up, fade to black
because it's for the NXT Championship.
Yeah,
you fade to black. Your main angle, you would think. But with Adam Cole holding the strap, they put him in the fucking opener or at the end of the first hour.
Like, it's crazy. I didn't. Our next contest is, as I called it, Rough Draft Rhea Ripley.
Not fully formed here at all, and so aggressive. Like,
I found it fascinating. To
it's crazy.
I loved it for that.
She's moving so fast.
She's moving
here.
Different. So it's Rough Draft Rhea Ripley against Caden Carter.
You're gonna die, pal. You only got a job because you grew up a couple miles from the Performance Center. You're gonna die, pal.
The match started and
Rhea Ripley is about to become the female Undertaker.
Yeah, dude, the match started and my first note on it, and I mean this as an actual compliment to the match. I wrote down, this is such a less produced show. Like it doesn't feel overly. Yeah. It feels more like, hey, you? Yeah, you, Stephen Wolf. Hey, you're having a match with this guy. Go put it together. Here's the bullet points. That's what this match felt like, and I loved it for that because, man, Rhea is like, she has a job, and she wants to make sure she keeps that fucking job.
So at the PC at this time, like, obviously every match has agents, right? But however, really, you put together the match. They tell you, obviously, what they need to tell you and shit like that.
Yeah.
And then, like, you just run it by them. They kind of, it's similar to, like, what we do at Dreamwave.
Right.
But, like, they're more, like, in tune with it, right? Yeah. And then you'll be there for kind of, like, the planning process and just, like, tweak things here and there. But still, the majority is like, their ideas and, like, what they want to do. It's just helping them make their ideas make sense.
Right.
Instead of just telling them what to do.
I feel like that's the way it fucking should be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it should be a collaborative effort. I'm never going to be one of those assholes that's like, well, if you haven't taken a bump, you can't tell me. I hate that argument.
And that is why Black and Gold works so well.
It does. I just, that to me, that argument, I always fall back to, hey, Braden, are you a great chef?
No.
But can you tell me what tastes good and what does not?
Yeah.
See? That's the...
Like, some people would argue no.
Sure, and I would be one of them, honestly.
Hey!
But my point being that, like, you can't tell me what does and doesn't entertain you
right
through the screen just because you have not been dropped on your fucking back on a canvas.
Like, yeah.
So I really enjoyed this, though.
Beth Phoenix is so much better on commentary tonight, and I believe that it is not her fault next week. I think that she is getting talked the fuck over because she has some good calls on this show.
Right. We talked about it on that. The one that went head-to-head with Dynamite, that show just felt produced.
Yeah. Like, dude, fuck.
The stink lines coming off of it were stinky.
Vince was paying attention that week.
Yeah.
Stinky.
I wrote down this was clean, this was hot, this was crisp.
I have a note here. You talked about a spot that, like, you see, and every time you see it, you just go, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
What about the opposite?
Every time you see a spot, you hate it.
Sure. God damn it.
I got one.
Let's hear it.
Wolf, no offense. I don't ever want to see anyone jump from the top to the middle to the top rope ever fucking again. I don't want to do... I don't.
Yeah.
I don't care.
My next match. It's going to be at Sanctuary for After Dark. The ceiling is very low. However, I'm a god amongst men. And I'm going to figure out a way to hit that.
I hate
just
it.
For you.
It is. I'm
gonna be like, Brady!
Do it.
It's called the old razzle dazzle.
Do it, but keep doing it. That's yeah, worse. Especially at After Dark, if you keep doing it, and then as a heel, it fucking backfires on you.
I remember when I was a dumb wrestling fan, and I thought that it was cool, and then I learned about the business, and was like, no, okay, I'm over it.
You know what I don't like? And actually, I love a backdrop, because I despise how every single time somebody goes for a backdrop, it's just kick up or kick this.
Because no one wants to take a backdrop.
Exactly. Yeah. AJ takes a good backdrop.
I was kidding. By the way, you're not dumb if you like that spot. I was just joking. I just need to put that out because we have actual
audience. Bro, I've got a million of them that I don't like.
Yeah.
I can't think of
any. I hate head kicks. Wow. Head kicks are bad.
That's all I have.
I hate them.
That's all I have. You can do so much more than jumping from the top and bottom.
They should be illegal.
You just cut my wings out from under me. Mm. No, but
that's a good half of my shit too.
Coin's been my friend for 15 plus years. He just realized this week I'm left footed. It's like you have been in the ring with, filmed, and photographed me for 1.5 decades.
Rhea Ripley.
After 10,000 years, I'm free! That was Rhea Repulsa.
Yeah, yes. Dude.
She's from the Power Rangers, man.
Rhea beat Basing in this match.
Yeah.
Hard.
Yeah.
Like a motherfucker.
Loved it.
Sit out, Riptide. That's fun.
You gonna sit out with it?
We'll see.
We'll see.
All-timer.
After this match, there is a promo for Hell in a Cell, which I was like, oh man.
We can't just have an NXT show.
No, but also it made me remember, we gotta find time.
Yeah.
To do that watch along. Because, I want to go into it completely blind because I don't know anything else about the card.
And then we
get... What's that now?
We get as fucked up as we need to over the course of the watch-along. But we go into it stone cold.
So the show... When the show starts, right? And we're like, let's ring this bell on this PLE. Premium Live
Event. POS, yeah.
From the market leader in sports entertainment.
I don't know if I'll be able to do that.
No, I'm not saying the whole time. In the
morning.
But you're saying that when the show starts is when we can start.
Yes.
Yes, but if the show doesn't start before 12 o'clock, I will be high.
This man's honest.
I love the idea of this being that, we'd have, cans of, Uncle Arnie's in front of us.
Uncle Arnie!
Uncle Arnie's! Ring the bell and just down. Be like, I gotta be fucked by the time this main event starts. Butt chugging Uncle Arnie's.
And front chugging.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, that's just normal chugging. I don't know why that would.
You were so concerned.
The term front chugging. Frugging, if you will. Frugging, if you will.
Something else that threw me off. Oni Lorcan and Danny Burch versus Ever-Rise. And I said, The fuck is Ever-Rise?
These two French Canadians.
I did not remember them being in NXT.
Me neither.
They were kind of decent in NXT from what I recall.
They're good. They're good workers.
So, Daddy Magic, Matt Menard, Cool Hand and...
Angelo Parker, yes.
Angelo Parker. My thing with these guys is, when they got signed, it was that, happy, oh, wow.
I can't believe, yeah.
Because I know these guys as 2.0 from Chikara.
Hmm.
And just being a comedy tag team in Chikara... And now it's like, oh shit, you're signed. I'm like,
oh shit, you're on NXT. Oh shit, they signed you to a deal on NXT.
Like, good on them. And then, I didn't remember them being signed. When I saw this, I was like, oh yeah. That, jogged my memory. I expected anyone else in the fucking world to walk out for this tag match other than these two. Yeah. I don't remember this run.
Is it their debut as Ever-Rise?
I think so.
I have no idea.
Also, fun trivia, Daddy Magic Matt Menard has a 5-star match on his resume.
Anarchy in the Arena?
Anarchy in the Arena.
He deserves it. You know what? His performance in that specific Anarchy in the Arena made him an all-timer, like, worker, brother-brother kind of guy with me.
Underrated promo guy.
Yeah.
Unbelievably good promo guy. And, like, anytime that, like, AEW put him on commentary, he's fucking great.
And he's an all-time bleeder. Make him the next Bobby Heenan. Now. Like,
and then Angelo Parker would go on to marry former Dreamwave alumni slash arch nemesis of mine, Heidi Lovelace, otherwise known as Ruby Soho.
Ruby Soho.
And now they have a fucking like wrestling themed bakery restaurant thing?
Board game cafe 2 thing.
That's it.
I keep meaning to go while I'm in Indiana, but I'm only ever in Indiana at weird times of the day.
Like, just a weird, like, trajectory for those two. Yeah. Like, but like,
good for them.
Yeah, big time. So I'm like, bro, you were on the indies not making anything for anybody. You worked for Chikara.
Yeah.
You're not getting paid.
You're happy to be there.
I have no notes on this match, really. This was just good.
I have a couple really on it. There's a lot of Hey-O music at this time period.
Yeah.
Dude, and people, like, know people's music, which is weird. People are up awesome for Lorcan and Birch's fucking... Yeah.
It always makes me think of you whenever I hear it now. Because I think you're the first person I ever heard call out the Hey-O music. And I was like, oh yeah, there is a lot of that. Becky Lynch, Sami Zayn, everyone's favorite tag team of Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch.
Don't forget Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins, others.
Finn Balor.
Finn Balor. Like,
I choose to believe that Danny Burch is twice as old as Oney Lorcan.
Mm-hmm. He is.
Is he?
I know.
I'd believe it.
I believe it.
And it... At all times.
Yeah.
He always doubles.
I actually really like this match. I boiled it down to it's tights versus trunks if you like don't know
yeah
the teams, which is fine.
Then it doesn't matter that they're all wearing all black and white.
It doesn't, right. Even though that did kind of bother me too.
The finish, I thought, ruled.
I really like this match in general. I wrote down that it's ingenious in its simplicity.
Yeah.
It's just good. Good basic fundamentals. Like,
yeah.
But everything was made sense. Everything was... I literally wrote down, tag teams should watch and study this match. Like, the positioning on everything is okay, except for there's one real weird moment on a hot tag where somebody's got their fist cocked for a punch, and this guy's not running at him. But outside of that, like, I thought this was fucking great. But, like, in that, like... Very simple.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it was easy.
Logical pro wrestling.
He yells for his tag team partner.
Yes.
Who then immediately pops up, hype as fuck, after taking the heat. Gets up there, they tag in, they hit their move,
mm-hmm.
Finish. I love that.
Yeah.
Stone simple.
That's just great.
That's an example of sometimes guys just win.
Yeah! Yes. You can just... fucking lose, and you can just fucking win. It's not that hard. There's a shot slash segment after this of Deonna Purrazzo and Chelsea Green.
Oh yeah.
And I still
have we updated the how many of these people work here?
You know what? Let's go for it. Let's go from the 40-minute mark on. Okay. Rhea Ripley still there, obviously. The top stars.
Female
the
Undertaker. Yeah.
Yeah. Caden Carter, I believe, is gone. Oney Lorcan.
Gone.
Gone.
Gone? Okay.
A trainer, I think.
I don't...
Is he?
No, I thought he was...
You might be right, actually.
Well, let's just say gone, because you're not wrestling.
Let's say gone. Danny Burch is gone. Everrise are gone. Yeah. Deonna Purrazzo.
Gone.
Chelsea Green's still there. So far, I think we're at like one. And one in a maybe, because no one knows the status of Oney Lorcan. Oh, but hey, Cameron Grimes. Huh?
He is a coach. Straight up did not know that.
Me neither.
That's crazy.
Good on him.
I know he was gone for a while because I saw Biff Busick in Tampa. Or Dallas.
You're probably like, hey, man.
Select.
You want to make some real money? And not bump?
Next contest, Cameron Grimes, definitely gone. Versus Raul Mendoza. Still there? Still there.
Yep.
Question mark.
Yep.
Okay. Still,
really?
Yep. He's part of the AAA shtick.
Oh. Because he was in, was he in like the LWO or something with
yes.
Ray?
Yeah. Okay. World Order. That's right. Him and, I won't say DJC.
Joaquin Wilde.
Yeah.
I have three notes on this match.
Yes.
First of all, bless you.
Thank you.
First of all, Mauro Ranallo says, Eddie Guerrero. You did not roll your R's, Mauro. You did not succeed in that, even in the slightest. You said Guerrero, and that's the end of that.
That's not good.
There's a really long rest hold in this match. And then my last note is, yeah, that was never in doubt.
I'll tell you what I thought on this. I wrote down, I don't think they ever really tried with Trevor Lee. Cameron Grimes went, like...
Yeah, I mean, he got the contract. He was North American champion for a bit.
Yeah.
Which is cool, but, like, once... Again, main roster. Just right down the toilet.
I don't even remember. Did he get called up?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he got called up.
I straight up... I thought he was just an NXT guy until they fucking released him. That sucks.
Me too, yeah. I don't...
That only adds to the point, though, of, like, they never... I feel like they never really fucking tried with him, which is...
I looked up Trevor Lee... Utah State Representative. No, dumbass.
No, that's
not
the
real one.
There is a springboard headlock takeover in this, and it's awesome.
Oh, it's real fucking cool.
There's some pretty fucking cool shit in this match.
Yeah.
There's some wild spots. But
I really liked Cameron Grimes' double stump deal.
He joined the SmackDown brand in 2023 until his release from the company the next year.
2023?
Yep.
God, if you'd have told me it was 2020, I would believe you.
Holy shit. Do you have any memory of Trevor Lee on the main roster?
Yeah,
they completely fucking botched him immediately.
Yeah.
And sent his ass to main event.
Yeah, NXT 29 to 2020. Then, the richest man in NXT. Because he
hit
big on Dogecoin.
That's
2021
awesome.
Yeah.
To 2022.
I had a pitch for Dakota similar to that, where he made a bunch of money on
the 2023 to 2024. Part of the draft. Defeated Baron Corbin.
What?
Competed in a United States title invitational four-way, which he won by Rey Mysterio. I'm assuming that means he pinned Rey Mysterio. And then he returned back to NXT, lost in a four-way match, came back to SmackDown, lost to Braun Breaker, then got released.
Holy shit.
So his last match in the Fed was Braun Breaker.
Wild.
Hmm. Well...
This was around the time, by the way, that I noticed what I wrote down as the late in the show taping crowd fatigue.
Yeah.
This was when I was like, oh, wait, are we live or not?
They don't give a shit about this.
They don't. And then I remembered, like, watching NXT back in the day when it was that formula of, like, well, we're going to tape 2-3 weeks of TV in one night. You know, whatever. But you could tell when you would watch the episodes, this is... the start of a taping, the crowd is hot for everything, versus this is late in the taping, these guys are killing each other, and everyone's exhausted.
Yeah.
But.
And we are late in this taping.
And nobody actually, as from a wrestler's perspective, like, nobody talks about how when the crowd's gassed, when you're in the ring, I feel like it makes me more gassed.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't have their energy to, like,
keep the vision. Yeah.
So I'm like, fuck. God damn, working harder, they're still blowing us. I'm like, fuck.
Can I prompt something here that the four of us as workers can go on a little tangent about?
Yeah.
In regards to crowd energy, right? There's always some sense of, if you're listening to this and you're not a wrestler, maybe you'll learn something. If you're listening to this and you are, you know what we're all about to agree on.
But everybody will agree, we should be louder.
There's a trepidation that comes with being on late on a show.
Yes.
There's an anxiety, I would say, like, because you're like, fuck, man, they will have seen so much wrestling. Some of it's good, some of it ain't, but whatever. Like, I bitch about this so much that crowd energy is a finite resource. And here's where I'm going with this. Give me something that happens on shows that you feel doesn't need to happen that depletes crowd energy.
I know exactly what you're segueing into with this.
I'll let you go first because you know what I'm segueing into.
When an announcer fucking says,
you can't
"How am I doing?" multiple times where I can't hear you and like blows up the fucking audience before they've seen anything.
I hate it.
I understand. Alright, everyone, we're going live in 10 seconds, so you need to make as much noise as possible.
That's different.
That is different.
Yeah.
How are we doing that?
Doing it every single time.
In between each match, yeah.
What you're talking about is fair and warranted, especially when it's a live streaming television.
Yes. Yep.
I
start the crowd.
Sign me up. Yeah. On board. Brother, it's a fucking bar show. It's anything that's not being filmed for anything but our own selfish enjoyment. Shut the fuck up, announcer guy. I don't need it.
No, I agree. Yeah,
I agree. I don't know. something I would have never thought of until it was like pointed out to me. Because I've been on the other side of the coin so many times. Yeah, I'm here.
But you like, but like even us as fans, like we've all bought tickets to shows.
Yeah,
we've all bought tickets to shows that we loved. You can't not feel that exhaustion at the end of it.
Yeah.
Like, I've been to, like one of the best pay-per-views that I've ever seen, period, was All Out 2021. And I'm not going to lie, by the end of it, I got rejuvenated by the shock at the end. By the end of it, I was like, fuck, man, I'm watching Christian versus Kenny Omega. For me, there's not much higher to go.
Yeah.
And even then, I'm like, whew. Been a hell of a show so far, guys. Like,
another falsy? Damn, all right.
God damn, these guys are good at this. I can't believe it. Like,
on top of the announcer thing, I also think, like, multiple hot starts on a show, like, when everyone just hot starts, just cheapens wrestling as a whole. Mm. Same with, like, if you have multiple, like, people are taking their sweet fucking time outside of the ring for whatever reason. Like, if every heel on their way to the ring... Or during the match.
Long entrances, I would say, are a factor here. Like,
it's all the expenditure of energy. Like, again, there's a finite amount of energy in an audience. So you can't fucking completely blow that shit. And not every person on the show can be a superstar, unfortunately.
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes your job is just to go to the fucking ring and lose.
Sometimes the pre-show doesn't need a super kick out.
Or a staple gun.
Or Jay Driller.
Or a shooter.
Remember that one?
Yes. These are all, by the way, things that we have, like, seen occur on a fucking pre-show.
I'm not gonna lie, I did a shooter on a pre-show one time.
Yes.
But the guy rolled in and I just landed on my feet. So technically I didn't hit it.
Well, that's different.
Yeah.
That's
just showing it can do that.
Yeah, exactly. My biggest note about this Cameron Grimes Raul Mendoza match, I just wrote down, good wrestling happened in front of me.
Yep.
Like, that was kind of awesome. Which is indicative of where we're at for the main event of the main event, because I was like, oh.
I was bought in. I fucking love, I'm sorry, okay. I fucking love Ludwig Kaiser.
Yeah.
Goat.
What's I been love doing lately?
Crying and Shaving's not on TV anymore.
I heard he got arrested for assault in an elevator.
That sucks. That's going to fucking ruin his career.
Dude, I mean, I haven't heard about him since.
He's not going to do anything of note within days of that event, for sure.
But apparently, Gunther bailed him out, so he's got a good friend. He's probably going to get back on feet, too. Yeah, he's probably laying low right now.
No, he's still Walter here.
He's still Walter.
Oh, yeah. My current love for Ludwig Kaiser influences past viewings of now Marcel Bartel.
Sure.
He's great. He's always been awesome.
My hang up with this match, so it's Kushida and Mystery Guys versus Imperium, back when there were members of it. I love Kaiser. I like Fabian Aichner. I know I'm using the wrong names.
No, you're using the right ones. Whoever thought Giovanni was a good replacement name?
It ain't. Yeah, no.
It's more Italian than Fabian Aichner, though.
Yeah, so forget about it.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe we'll put him into FBI later.
My hang-up on this match, so it's these guys, and I was like, okay, these guys are great, this will be good. Against Kushida and two partners, I'm like, Kushida's fucking awesome. Love Kushida. And it's fucking Tyler Breeze and Fandango Fashion Police. I want to be very clear. Love the Fashion Police. love this pairing, love this gimmick, love this bit. I just didn't want them in this match.
I get it.
It should have been the Machine Guns, and it should have been the Machine Guns.
Right, yeah.
The Time Splitters is an established trio anyways. Like, just...
I was watching this with Meg, and she straight up was like, it's the Machine Guns, right? And I had to rack my own brain and say, no, Chris Sabin has never been there.
Yeah.
That was the only way that I convinced myself that it wasn't the Machine Guns. Then I hear the entrance theme that starts with the police siren.
Thought it was Scott Steiner.
I did too!
I was so, in a weird way, pumped up. I was like, what the f- oh, fuck.
Kushida and Scott Steiner, who's the third man?
Jordan Grace.
That was awesome. Actually, fuck it, why not? Give me that. Why?
She has the sirens.
Sure, that's just dumb enough to be entertaining. I'd watch the shit out of that. Kushida, Scott Steiner, and Jordan Grace against Imperium.
Yeah.
In 2019.
Yeah, why not?
I'm on. So let's go.
No, but anyway.
I will say I ended up turning a corner on this match, and I did kind of enjoy it.
Yeah, it is pretty damn good, I think. They do such a good job of, like, a false hot tag, where, there's so many moving parts, and they move perfectly together here.
Yeah.
There's some good, like,
WWE, for whatever reason, was really good at putting together six-man tags.
Yeah.
They're six-man tags and, like, multi-mans. They're way better at it than, like, I think people would expect.
They're a lot easier, to be honest.
And I think that's why.
Like, wait, hang on. Six-man tags are easier or multi-mans are easier?
All of them are
easier. Yeah.
Multi-mans are...
Anything stupid above four.
Simple. Stupid simple. Even four is easy.
My brain is so fucking dumb, and I would love to pick your guys' minds on this, because this is evidently my lot in Dreamwave now. I love
six-man tags. It's all little holes, mate.
Yeah, that's what I would do. It's just
not necessarily. There's like... No, you don't. There's ways to tell stories and still like get everybody's gimmicks in, not just necessarily waterfalls, but like actually do it. Like,
I struggle with
the foundation.
I can shoot... Tell you, like, if you want, like, take you through, like, a 10-minute scramble, like, 15-minute scramble, or even a fucking six-minute scramble.
We'll talk about it off-air, but, like, I came up with a thing the other day, and I was talking to Meg about it. I was like, oh, this is what I'm going to do in these scrambles, because this will give me a base to build on to put them together. Anyways, this match, though.
Yeah, it was fine.
I really enjoyed it.
Kushida with the dub, and then Volta coming out.
Yeah, chopping him.
Fuck you, you little ass bitch.
Marcel Bartel is really like me because he keeps falling for that low bridge.
You can't not be thwarted by the low bridge.
Yeah.
That's a rule of your character now.
I was on a show one time with...
That's the rule. That's the goal now.
It's your kryptonite. I was on a show one time with my dear friend Frank White, Lumpy, and he in this one match got low bridge out of the ring like three times. And on the third one... As he was running and dude fucking, you know, sandbags out, pulls the rope down, he's still running and he just goes, "Oh, not again." It made me laugh.
Curses.
I remember you telling me this story on a long road trip, and I'm almost positive that that has informed my
love
of taking the low bridge.
It's so good. I did. Danko does a fucking hell of a flip dive in this.
Yeah.
It was good. It was very... Everything was very safe.
I really liked the combinations and stuff that they did in Imperium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The little three-man little things. And also, Ludwig Kaiser still just moving that well.
Yeah.
Because he's got, like, there's a couple times where he's, like, holding his opponent down really subtly, and he's got the one hand behind the back. He's so cool, dude. He's a Bond villain.
He is in great shape here. He would go on to get in greater shape disappearing from television. But
it's a shame no one's doing anything with him.
Yeah, crying.
Oh, well.
Just a fucking...
I'm sure he'll be back eventually.
Probably just sitting around getting paid, being happy, not getting hurt.
Yeah, I mean, this was 7 years ago.
Speaking of not being seen for a while, you know who just came back? Mm. Chad Gable.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Apparently he was the original Brownie Americano the whole time. Yeah, dude.
Holy shit.
So hopefully that means, like, he'll be... Now he's, like, drop that stupid gimmick. He can go back to being kind of, like, you know, the guy. No more Shorty G.
No.
You know,
Ben.
You know.
Bad time.
Give the fucker a world heavyweight championship reign.
No, he needs to quit and go to the dub and be a fucking sicko and
shave his head.
Yeah.
Get a mouthpiece.
Exactly. Nah. Get on so many fucking Percocets. I don't care how many you need.
He needs to develop a drug problem.
He will fill that prescription for you, Chaz Betts. And you will take them and you'll like them and you'll do flip dives off the stage and.
And hit Sting in the head with a bat.
Yes.
For real.
I want him to fucking do all that but go to New Japan and actually like.
He does need to have a proper Nuge run.
Nuge.
Send him the Nuge. Let him win the G1.
This is not the first time I've heard Nuge. I don't want this to catch on. I fear it's going to.
Yeah, it is.
Unfortunately, it's already caught on.
There's the Fed, the Dub, and Nuge. Also, ah!
And Teen. Yeah. You a teener?
No,
what is that?
TNA.
That's not how you pronounce the letters.
Teen.
Tuna.
Okay. I am not a teen.
No, teener.
Oh, okay. No.
Still. So basically, on this weird Sunday that's coming up, you got three pay-per-views, Connor. I gotta put the fucking coals to your feet here.
Yeah.
You can watch Slammiversary. You can watch NXT Great American Bash. Or you can watch AEW show that I can't think of the name right now. You're being given a voucher, so it won't cost you a dime.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I mean, two options are abundantly clear for me.
Slammiversary.
Yeah.
Is one, and I would say TNA is the other.
That's the same pay-per-view. So I would have to say that I'm probably, if they're free, I'm going to sit at home and I'm probably going to watch IWA Mid-South The Last Christmas Bash 2006.
Excellent choice. I had a good time with the show.
Yeah.
Like, it was long. It, you know, wrestling happened in front of me, but there wasn't anything on this that was, like, bad.
Speaking of long, Jesus.
This was a fun.
Hour 31.
Fuck yeah.
This was a fun, like, I like exploring this time period because.
Yeah.
It's become very clear to me, and I don't know how I wasn't aware of it in the moment, how petty, like you said at the very beginning of this episode, how petty the WWE is towards AEW already.
I kind of want to, like, keep circling this area until we do this watch-along for Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
But, like, because I know we talked about on the when we did the first episode of Dynamite, we did talk about, like, what do you do to follow that up? It's like, we kind of do need to visit that at some point, but...
Yeah.
Anyways.
Bozo did the dub.
He did. This is a light recommend for me. Like,
it's free on YouTube, I guess.
Yeah.
Nothing bad. I would say, honestly, the most fascinating part is to watch, like, the Rhea Ripley match and just see, like, how unbelievably far she's come since then. Like, still awesome here, but, like, not even, like, she's a bona fide star now.
Yeah. Like,
and looks completely different.
This is Flex Cavana versus The Rock.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyways, shut it down. I'm going to go see He-Man.
Shut the shit down.
Get out. What are we?